Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Last week, as we enter into August, I talked about the idea of being in different boats and yet being in the same storm. And we saw that. We saw January with a volcanic eruption in the Philippines, a major volcanic eruption. In February, we saw the COVID situation, which is still running. The earthquake in Bali in March. And in April, we had the tornado that hit Nashville, Tennessee. And just when we thought everything was calming down, we saw the huge racial issues of the United States. And then now we saw in June the reality of the economic depression as people started losing their jobs. And just when we thought that all was over, a massive flood in China that devastated three cities and caused evacuations of millions of people. The question is, what next? Well, my guess is that, my fearless forecast is that at the end of all of this, in probably a year or 2 years from now, all things will be the same as they were, and to those who are prepared, they will harvest the best. And so the goal for this message is, what do you do in the midst of this storm and all these calamities? Obviously, we said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you as well. But there's another component I want to give you today, and that's the idea of building with unity. Interestingly, as I shared this with our staff, the very day I shared it, the headlines of Singapore was that the prime minister himself was asking the nation and having a call for unity. The title of this message is The Power of One. The idea of the power of one or the power of unity can best be found in the idea of a fist. When you look at a fist, it's a symbol of unity. It's a symbol to hold things. Without the ability to hold a hammer, you can't build. Without an ability to clench your fist, you cannot defend yourself, or for that matter, you cannot fight. The idea of unity is important in this hour where everybody is in a different boat, but in the same storm. Unity has several things that we need to talk about. The first is, why do you even want to build this way? Is because there are benefits to unity. When you understand these benefits, you begin to live a life of unity. Psalms 133 verse 1 tells us, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. In other words, when we live in unity, there it is. The very first benefit of unity is life becomes good and pleasant. If you want to have a good and pleasant time despite the storms around you, you need to learn how to live in unity. First of all, with your own life, with your spouse, with your family, with your office mates, with the people you work with your church, the more unity there is, the more good and pleasant life becomes. Now, it says further in verse 2, it is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. He's talking about this picture of what it looks like to have unity. It says it is like precious oil. Back in the days of the Bible, when you say precious oil, it really referred to oil that was precious because it brought healing as it cleanses. Unity has a way of healing us as it cleanses our souls. When we begin to have unity with our spouse, for example, I'm now celebrating my 38th anniversary, very close, in a few more months, 38 years of being married to the same woman, and I know that without unity, I cannot get healed. And I get healed as I build unity, as my wife cleanses me of some of the things that shouldn't be there. The more united we are with our children, with our church, with the people we work with, or as a nation, the greater healing comes, because that's what unity does. Further in verse 3 it says, it is like the dew of Hermon. It is like the dew which falls on the mountain of Zion. And interestingly, when you think about dew, what that means is it's not about healing and cleansing. It is the other thing about it restores as it refreshes. When you see a people walking in unity, you find refreshing. When you see people in disunity, you find arguments, criticism. You find people who are better than others saying wrong things about other people. It does not restore. It does not heal. It does not cleanse. It does not refresh. Actually, it destroys. And that's why there's power in unity. But the greatest benefit of unity is summarized in this verse in Psalm 133, verse 3. He says, when you have that, when you learn to live in unity, when you learn to walk in the refreshing and the restoration of unity, there the Lord has commanded the blessing forevermore. Literally, a people who have learned to walk in unity will experience the blessing of God. This is the first and the only verse, I believe, that the Bible says that God commands a blessing over you. When you learn how to live in unity, when you learn to be a people who know how to build unity at home, God literally commands a blessing over you and your family. That is the benefit of unity. When we learn how to do that as a nation, as a people, as a family, as an office, as a church, we will see the Lord commanding His blessing over us. This is the blessing or the benefits of unity. Now, furthermore, there's the benefits of unity and why we want to do that. I look at my own family. I look at my friends. I was talking to a man and a wife, but recently I just on the phone with them, two different people. The man was explaining to me how he had just lost his job and he had to leave Singapore and move back to the Philippines. And it was interesting how powerful the testimony of this man was. And he started talking to me about how Abraham had been asked by God to give him his Isaac. And the picture he was explaining to me was that it was felt like his job in Singapore was his Isaac and that he was giving it up for God. But here's what he said. It was interesting how he felt like the only way he could find the open door in the next season of his life was to agree to close this other door. Now, the powerful thing about it was not that. The powerful thing about that is that he and his wife were in unity in the decision. Decisions without unity cross destruction, distraught, despair, and we become despondent. When we operate in unity, we find the Lord commands a blessing over us. The other couple I talked to was describing that this is the best season of their life in the midst of the storm. They're more united than ever. Their family's more united than ever. The point is this. Doesn't matter what the storm is, what the things around you are, there are benefits to unity. And when we operate in those, we see the Lord commands His blessing over our lives. Now notice that it's not just the benefits of unity. It talks about the way of unity. There's a way where we build with unity, and there's a way where we cannot build with unity. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 captures this idea of building with unity. It says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. The keys to unity are captured in this one verse. Be completely humble. Some of you are probably saying, really? Can you really be completely humble? Are you saying, Pastor Joey, that you are completely humble? Well, probably not completely, but getting there. To get there, however, you need to understand how humility works. Many times, people think that pride is on one side and humility is on the other side. The reality is not that way. The reality is humility and pride are at the same level. The difference of those sides is what is known as confidence and security. When our security and confidence is in us, we have insecurity because we think, we know that we cannot provide the security that we need. When our pride is in us, then we have self-confidence because both of these are about me. The more it's about me, the less confidence I have, the more insecurity I have. And you know this, we all know this, that one of the measures of somebody who's prideful is they're the most insecure people in the world. Because insecurity produces pride. Now, humility, on the other hand, is confidence in God and security in God. That's the story of David, whose brother was accusing him that he was prideful. But the reality was he was not. He was secure and confident that he could kill Goliath because his confidence was in God. That was the issue of Moses with Miriam and Aaron, who was accusing him of being prideful as being the leader. And yet he knew very well his confidence and his security was in God. The only way we can be completely humble is not by trying to abase ourselves or trying to be humble on our own, but to be completely humble is to put our confidence and our security in no one else but God. The result is we will become gentle. and we become patient, and we will start bearing with one another in love. And the result further is that unity comes. We're able to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, I love this verse. This verse captures a very important principle of Scripture. It's the principle of the 100%. You make every effort to keep the unity of the faith. It's not about you, but it's about you. In other words, it's not about 50% of my effort. It's 100% of my effort, but at the same time, it's not me producing it, it's God. So you're probably asking, how does that work, Pastor? It's kind of like gardening. When you garden, you get up in the morning, you plant seeds, you till the soil, you water the plants, you put fertilizer. That's 100% of your energy. But the fact of the matter is, no matter how hard you try, you cannot grow a plant because it requires God's power to do that. The way this works is you give everything to God because you believe in Him. You give Him 100% of who you are and all your effort and your energy. And as a result, you believe that God will give you 100% of the results. That's the power of making every effort. And when we do that, in creating unity, we will build unity through the bond of peace. How do we do that exactly? Being completely humble. The result is gentleness, patience, and being loving. Now notice it says in verse 4, there is only one body and one spirit, just as we were called to one hope that you were called. That word one keeps showing up. One body and one spirit. And then it says, just as you were called to one hope. And then it says further, this is where the basis for our calling, basically. In other words, our hope is based on the fact that Jesus called us and saved us by His own blood. The basis for our humility is the fact that we did not call ourselves. We did not save ourselves. We were saved by this God. And out of the love of that God, we're able to find ourselves in that place of humility, understanding that that is based on because we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. This is the truth. Unity does not come from trying to be the same. It comes from walking together in this simple truth that our hope, our calling, our faith comes from being one with God, one in faith, one in baptism. And because of that, all of us can be one who's over all, through all, and in all. Unity comes as we believe and trust that in the Spirit of God, we will find oneness and give it all our effort to live the life that He's called us to live. Now, verse 7 says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is important because what this verse is saying is that unity is not about sameness. Sometimes people think being united is dressing the same way or living the same way or doing the same things. There's a measure of that, but that's more like uniformity. Unity is unity in the truth. When we walk in the truth of who God is, we will find greater unity. Now, be careful with this because sometimes we confuse truth with fact. Now, there's nothing wrong with truth and fact. Facts can be true and truth can be facts. But there's a very easy way to distinguish between fact and fiction. It's a little trickier to figure out truth versus fact. Fact of the matter is not all facts are truth. A good story to remember is the story of Galileo Galilei, who figured out the pendulum and the measurement of time, an Italian inventor and a philosopher. And he was tried by the tribunal, the people of the Inquisition. During the trial, the conversation revolved around whether the earth was round, and Galileo insisted that it was. And the Roman Inquisition insisted that it was not round, that the earth was flat because the Bible said so. And sadly, the reality was both of these parties were presenting facts, but there was only one truth. And truth is proved over time. And Galileo Galilei eventually was proven right. And sometimes our religious mindsets insisting on certain facts are not really as truth. The truth is there is one body, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one salvation, and that comes from Jesus Christ. When that is our basis of agreement and not the differences that we have, which are based on our own ideas, then we find the grace of God to build in unity. Fact is actually the word, Latin word factum, which means a thing that has been done. Truth is not just the thing that is done. Here is the fundamental difference. Facts are things that are done. Truth are things that are discovered. Facts change over time. Truth does not. Facts inform you. Truth sets you free. And that's why you want to walk in the truth. The more you walk in the truth, and that's not to say that you shouldn't follow facts. We are where we are today because we've been tracking facts. We've been looking at the news. We've been looking at what's happening in the world. But after we've seen the facts, we apply the truth as God gives it to us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22 says, "It was he who lives who sits above the circle of the earth." The Roman inquisitors were insisting that the Bible says that the earth is flat. And yet the same Bible says the earth is actually round. Sometimes we need to give it some time to give it some unity. Sometimes we're so insistent about our facts. Back in the day when people were saying, you shouldn't wear a mask because it's not important. And then some people said, the fact is you should wear a mask and then don't wear a mask and wear a mask. In other words, it keeps changing until we all finally realize the truth. We do need to wear a mask. The point is, unity is not just about facts, but it's about the truth. And sometimes the way to do that is to be completely humble. When we're completely humble and patient and gentle with each other and loving, we will find that we will build unity with each other. Now, as I close this message, there's the benefits of unity, the way of unity, but I want to briefly talk to you about the revelation of unity. Unity, as I've said, can be found in the truth. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." God's word is the eternal truth that we base our decisions on. Not to say that we will not look at facts. I've been tracking facts. I've been watching and reading and making sure that we're basing decisions based on facts. But after we found the facts, we lay the things where they are in terms of God's truth. God is in control. God rules. God reigns. Our future is bright. All things work together for the good of them that love him. Back in John 17, verse 18, it says, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." There's that thing, unity, the idea of unity, "just as you, Father, in me and I in you, that they may also be in us." Unity is of the Spirit. When we believe that Jesus has come for us, when we believe that the Father and Jesus are one, when we walk in that simple truth, we will find unity, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The only way the world is going to believe that Jesus was sent by the Father and that the reality of who Jesus is, the glory of all of that, is when people see us walking in unity. Our homes, our families, our workplaces, our nations, our churches. When we walk in unity, the glory of God is revealed. Now, down in verse 22, it says, "That glory that you have given me," the glory of God, basically the physical manifestation of God, where God is showing off all of the wonders of nature and all of that, "I have given to them." How? Why? "That they may be one as we are one." The glory of God is revealed not just through miracles and power, it is revealed through unity. When we walk in unity as one, we will be displaying the very glory of God to the people around us. And finally, in verse 23, it says, "I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one." Notice what it says, there is a perfection to unity. "So that the world may know that you sent me and loved me even," or "sent me and loved them even as you loved me." Unity is important. It has its benefits, there's a way of walking in unity, and finally, there's the revelation of unity. Let me summarize this message for you. The benefits of unity are, you live a life that's good and pleasing. It heals as it cleanses us through our relationships. It restores as it refreshes. And we find God's way to command a blessing over us. That's powerful. I love that. I embrace unity. Let me just give you a short, quick testimony about this. Every time my wife finds ourselves in a crossroad, whether that's dealing with our own marriage, our own children, our family, investments, we make sure that we come to agreement. The power of unity is agreeing with one another. It says, where two or more of you agree about anything on this earth, it will be done for you by your Father in heaven. The more we find agreement, whether we're buying a car, whether we're selling a property, whether we're investing in something, unity comes first. Agreement comes, unity comes, and we will see the benefits of God's unity in our lives. Now, the second part of this is not just the benefits of unity, but the way of unity. A reminder is to be completely humble. I find that when I get into trouble with my relationships, whether that's my wife, staff members, my own children, it all because is I don't want to operate in humility. I find that the Roman Inquisition, what would have happened if the scientists of the day and the religious people of the day just came together in unity and were humble enough and took every effort to agree with one another? And it's not about sameness. In fact, where our differences are the very source of our strength, because when we come together in unity, your gifting, my gifting, other people's gifting together bring us a greater sense of power in unity. And finally, it's about walking in the truth. The more we embrace truth, not just facts, but the truth, facts plus truth create a semblance of unity in our minds and in our hearts. And finally, it's not just the way of unity, it's the revelation of unity. God's glory is revealed in and through us when we walk together in unity. So how do I do this, Pastor? You're probably asking. Well, let me tell you how. It's very simple. Pray. Ask God to give you the spirit of unity. Pray and ask God, God, give me unity with you. Give me unity with my family. Give me unity with my church, my nation, the people around me. Give me unity of mind, soul, and spirit. Number two, meditate. Meditate on the Word of God, because the more you meditate on the Word of God, the more truth you're going to have. And the more truth you have, the more unity you're going to have. Number three, proclaim the reality that Jesus is in you and that the glory of God is revealed in and through you. And finally, when you fellowship with other people, you are exhibiting unity. And let me just proclaim this in prayer. Lord Jesus, we align our lives to your desire that we may become one even as you and the Father are one. We seek not just facts but truth, that which binds us in unity despite our uniqueness and our differences. Help us to be completely humble, gentle, patient, and loving. Help us to make every effort to build unity. In this way, we may reveal your glory to those around us. And as we walk in unity, we expect life will be good and pleasing, healing us as it cleanses us, restores us as it refreshes us, and as you command your blessing over our lives. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.